We'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for this opportunity to come and learn more about you, learn more about ourselves. We pray that you would teach us today. We pray that even now as people are coming in, that you'll keep people safe. And we pray that you'll help us to have a great time of fellowship this morning. We know that whoever is here is because you have us here and want us to be here today and have a word for us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, really, that little story is relevant to today as we continue to talk about Michael Horton's book, Ordinary, and chapter 5. And the title of chapter 5 is Ambition, How Vice Became a Virtue. So you see that idea of, you know, should have been a doctor is actually related, whether it's funny or not. Let's start off. When you hear the word ambition, does that have positive connotations or is it a negative thing? What do you think? Yes. Okay. It is. Negative because of Macbeth. Did you read the book? Did you read the Ordinary thing? Oh, because he actually talks about Macbeth. Yeah. Okay. So there's some negative vote here. Okay. So making, in the sense of making the most of gifts that God's given you and you know, doing the best of what you have, making the most of yourself. Sure. That's a push towards the positive. Yeah. Okay. So it's changed, and that's really the thrust of this, you know, chapter where even the title says how vice became a virtue, and the that word, the use of the word, has in fact changed to where ambition did mean self-seeking, you know, get yourself on top, kind of thing. To now, in general, we use it more in the, you know, having drive, having goals, having you know, making the most of what God has given you, or out in the world, you know, it's probably not quite as clear cut. I think in the secular view, it would be ambition does seem to be more the drive to the top, which is what it historically has meant. So, Whether you use that word or not, we're going to talk a little bit more about it as we get into this. There is a temptation. There are things, influences outside us that drive us to you know, think of things more in that push for the top, get to the top at any cost, maybe. Thinking along those lines. Think about some of the reality TV shows that are out there. Can you think of any reality TV shows that I'm sure none of you watch, you know, but that you've heard about that kind of focus on this drive, you know, to the top or get to the top? Yeah, Loan Sharks. Yeah, Mark is so worldly. Shark loans, you know. They're going to bust your fins. No, that's your kneecaps, Mark. No. Yeah, The Apprentice with Donald Trump, you know, you're fired, right? Okay, there's one. Any others to think of? Yeah, sure. Right? Yeah, American Idol, The Voice. Yep. Project Runway, that's the, you probably don't, you have to have cable to see Project Runway. It's you know, clothes designing. It's kind of like the chef one or the apprentice one with clothes designing. I know it's a big draw probably for, you know, but anyway, there's even like The Bachelor, The Bachelorette series. Those are all putting something in front of people saying, you know what? you're in this situation, and you should be in this situation, or at least watch other people as they go, you know, to, and the ones with the, with, you know, the apprentice, I don't know how they get people on there. I have maybe a little more sense on the, on American Idol or the Voice, just because our family, some of the people in our family have watched those at times. And, you know, they actually do have, you know, somebody from Percival. In fact, there is somebody local here, Sterling or something, that's on the current, instance of the Voice. And, you know, it's like you could hit it big, right? You know, you could be nothing. You could be nothing out there in Sterling, Virginia, and you could hit the big time, with this show. It's kind of putting it in front of you like that. Any other things out in, you know, out in the world or influences that you can think of that are similar that give that message of, you know, you could be in a different position like that? Lottery, right? The lottery, there's signs, you know, Daniel knows because he has to drive by the sign every time he goes to his house, right there, Powerball, you know, $379 million, right? He could have that if he would just stop in there and spend whatever, you know, a few bucks and get that one ticket, and he could, his life could be changed. He could be in a different position. And, you know, depending on where you live, there's billboards and, you know, fortunately Virginia is not that big on billboards. Yeah. Well, and just, I mean, there's radio commercials for that, I hear, and TV, you see the commercials on TV. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that say, you know, you could have it all. You could be in this different, situation. So, That's really what we're talking about when we talk about ambition. It's that wanting to be in a different place than God has you. Not saying do your best with what you have. You know, God's given you the gift of service. Well, then, you know, do a really good job with that. Be diligent with that. God's given you a gift with your hands. Do a good job. You know, God's given you a mind for math or, art or literature or whatever, do a good job with those things. Or even if you are, you know, if you are doing a good job with those things, then the ambition, you know, wants to say, well, but you should be recognized. You should be, you know, at the top. You should be making millions of dollars, you know, or whatever with that. So that's the contrast here between maybe, you know, what we might think of as ambition when we want to try to appropriate it as a positive word versus what people in, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago and earlier when they thought ambition, they were thinking more that drive to the top at any cost and no matter who I step on. So there's that contrast. Here's some contrast that Horton lays out through his chapter. That come out. The first is related to what I was just saying. There's the drive or initiative. Oh, yes, Mike. Right. In our current translation, they have added the word selfish ambition. In really old translations, they didn't have to. They either used a different word or they just used ambition. And actually, Horton refers to that particular passage because he does a little bit of a word study in the middle of his thing. And he calls that one out. Almost all the negative uses or all the negative uses are the same Greek word. And that one with Paul is a different word. The word really means a strong desire. But we're going to talk about that very case. So the first contrast I want to mention is, again, related to what we were talking about, the driver initiative in setting and reaching goals, and the drive for achievement, meaning, or significance. Is that a contrast, do you think? Or are those maybe two ways of saying the same thing? Is either one of those negative, positive? So we have a drive or initiative in setting and reaching goals, a drive for achievement, meaning, or significance. Okay? There's a difference. I have a vote for yes, there's a difference. I didn't want to elaborate on that at all. a drive or initiative in setting and reaching goals.
Right.
Is achievement, meaning, or significance.
Rick.
That's true. It would depend on what your goal is, and it also might be, you know, depend on what the achievement is that you're talking about or what it means. Except that when you're, if you're pursuing, you know, significance or meaning, that means you don't have it, you know, in general. Yes. I mean, there's nuance here, but I think the Horton's point is that, wait a second, you have significance, you have meaning, and achievement for your name is that's a problem. Okay. So toss that out there. Yeah. Hannah. Right. Sure. And achievement, I think, is usually in a personal, that word has a personal meaning or connotation. It goes with what have I done? Now, yeah, you know, you could ask yourself, what have I done for God lately? And that's a different perspective, I think, than what have I accomplished or achieved? Mike.
Right.
And that seeking to, hey, where's my reward? Where's my recognition? Really comes from the fact of misguided thing saying, I achieved it. My boss told me to do this, but I achieved it. Not in the grace and strength and power of God. I accomplished something and I am thankful that we accomplished something. I accomplished something with God and, you know, I give him the glory, and as Mike said, you know, recognition is not my problem. Okay, a biblical contrast, Genesis 3 and Philippians 2. Genesis 3, we have Adam and Eve, and what was the temptation there that Satan put in front of them? Why should they eat that fruit that they shouldn't, from the tree that they should not eat? Make you wise, what? Be like God. And in Philippians 2, we have Jesus lowering himself. And what was his attitude about being like God? Right. He did not grasp for equality with God, even though he was God. The one who was God lowered himself. Okay. So there's the contrast. And of course the ambition is that's the ambition we're talking about, right? I want to be like God. He mentions, in there the story of, Icarus and Daedalus. All you classical students know that, right? Who is Icarus? Right. I'm looking for these classical education students to, what are you guys doing there in Providence Prep? Spending a lot of money on that Providence Prep thing, you know. Come on. Icarus? You guys don't know Icarus and Daedalus? Icarus. Icarus? Can you help us out? Right. And why did he, and what's the lesson? Why do we learn about? Why do we care? Huh? Since that's not a possibility, really, what was the issue? Why did he fly too close to the sun? Taylor's. What's that? Okay. But why did Icarus get in trouble? He said, I can touch the sun, right? And he got, his wings got melted and he ended up dead. Where's Amanda? Where's Amanda when we need it? And he died. Okay. All right. So there's a contrast. Genesis 3, reaching. Philippians 2, being willing and not reaching, but just serving where God wanted him to serve. How about James and John and Paul the Apostle? I'm thinking James and John before Jesus died. And Paul the Apostle after, you know, Paul the Apostle, not Saul, right? As Mike was saying, He had an ambition. He had a drive. Not only did he say, "I make it my ambition to preach the gospel," but he also, in another place, in 1 Corinthians 9, in Romans 15:20 is where he said he makes it his ambition to preach the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 9, he talks about being all things to all people that he might save some. I mean, that in our world, before you get to the "so I might save some," what I'm thinking is a politician, right? Oh, you want me to be this way? I'll be that way. You want me to be this way? I'll be that way. I'll be this way to you. I'll never say anything to offend anybody, because I want everybody to like me because I'm going to the top of whatever it is I'm pursuing. Paul says he'll do the same thing, but not for his own aggrandizement. He, of course, he's not going to lie and say something that isn't true, but he'll be weak. He'll be strong. He'll be forceful. He'll serve wherever he needs to serve, that the gospel may be preached and people may be saved. Okay, so that shows a drive, but not a drive to grasp or reach for something. There's a contrast in Philippians 2, 3, and 4. And I didn't print it out. And who can start that verse off? Philippians 2, 3, and 4. That's the one. Yeah, do nothing from selfishness, or selfish ambition, or vain conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Okay? So see, the contrast is right there on either side of that "but," right? We have selfish ambition. That's another one of those places where the Greek word for ambition is, we translate that saying, well, what we're talking about here, we're talking about that selfish ambition or conceit, right? Don't do that. But in humility, count others better than yourselves. So there's the contrast. If you're pursuing things selfish ambition, you're not counting other things, people, better than yourself. Okay. So which side of that contrast do you want to be on? Clearly, since Paul is saying, don't be like this, put that off, put this on. And that is a way to do that to get rid of temptation or, a draw towards something, you can walk around and say, don't do this, don't be that way, don't be like that. And of course, that's has limited effectiveness. So the first time it might work, but you need to replace that with something. What should you put on? Take away my selfish ambition and vain conceit. Okay, well, I've got to put on counting others better than myself. So that means you need to look for opportunities to serve, not wait for them to fall in your lap, because otherwise you're going to be tempted the other way. And another contrast that he puts on and talks at length somewhat about this, there are some phrases that you may have heard in out there, maybe in a commercial or in some kind of promotional or encouragement piece, or some pastor who has the book of quotes that he uses. Now, our pastor, of course, would never do that, but, just does those little anecdotes, kind of like I do at the beginning of Sunday school, but anyway, the phrase, making our future whatever we want it to be. Anybody ever heard that? You can make your future whatever you want it to be. Anybody can anybody place that in a popular culture? He can't make his future whatever he wants to be. Yeah, yeah. It's actually, it was actually in Back to the Future 3. I never saw that, but, yeah. Then another one, become whatever you wish. What's that? Sounds like Disney. One place in I don't know if there's other places in popular culture, but Isaac Asimov wrote about the future where everything is done by robots and we don't have to work anymore. There's only a few people that have to work. I probably the ones maintaining the robots. And he's like, well, you can be whatever you wish. You know, if you want to pursue the, you know, this craft or this skill or this thing, you can be whatever you wish. Okay, so there's those that, you know, making the future whatever you want to be or being whatever you wish versus 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, where Paul describes the body, and we are members of a body with God assigned roles in that body. Okay? Why would that contrast be important? Whatever you wish, be whatever, make the future whatever you want to be. God has made some to be prophets, teachers, evangelists. A foot can't say to the eye, I want to be an eye. Mike, did you? What? Okay, who's in charge? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so saying that we want to pursue something else is rebellion. Rick? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're saved to be part of a body that's accomplishing God's purposes.
Right, we're individuals, but we're also have our
right.
Corporate or covenantal.
Okay. So what about over here? It's really quiet over here. What if somebody says, well, you can be whatever you wish? Does that make sense? You buy that? Man, I'm glad I got those words of motivation. Encouragement. Would that be encouraging to you, Mark? That's certainly a good point, Mark. If you're not, then it's your fault. Okay? What's that? Dan wants to know, Pastor Dan wants to know if he can be a child actor. Well, you know, you can make the future whatever you wish, so. Back to the future, right? You like to be a jockey. Yeah, those are, you know, some of those are, you know, that's a good one. You be a child actor when you're, you know, 23 or 4, like Pastor Dan is, I'm sure. Or be a jockey when you're 6'3", like, you know, a thin 6'3", like, Mr. Weitz is. But even, okay, so those are obvious, okay? That would, you know, if somebody, you know, walked up to Mr. White and said, you can be anything you want, even a jockey, you know, obviously that would be nonsensical. So that shows right off the bat that kind of thinking is a little bit nonsensical. But what about, you know, within the realms of realism, you know, could I be a great singer? Thank you, Missy. No, Missy knows. Missy's the only one to be honest, you know. No. I'm sorry. That's just, I could practice forever and that's not going to happen. Could anybody in here be a great poet? Anybody? Could anybody be a great, basketball player? You can dream. Okay. And if you think about it, you know, there's not a biblical mandate that says, and this could be really explored. I don't know the answer, you know, to this, but when God says, I've assigned you roles in the church, the body to come together and the body's going to work because each of you has a capability, a skill, a gift that I've given you to be part of that body. Does that mean, well, that applies to society in general? You know, I think you could say, well, yeah, you could say no, you could, there's a mix, you know, whatever. But what I think I can say with some assurance is that if God has equipped you to be, let's say, the encourager in the body, okay, there's a certain skill set and strength set that goes with that, and personality type that God has created that goes with that, right? Would we agree with that? So are you more likely then to go out and be the, you know, the detail planner at some organization? I'm thinking, probably not. Okay? Because if God equips you to be some way in the body, it's not like you only have those skill sets when you're at church on Sunday morning. And then the rest of the week, you have some other personality type. Okay? The same if you know, if you're administratively gifted and you've got the details and stuff. Are you going to be the vision person out there, out in the world? In the church, you're administrative and you've got the details and you're helping keep things going, you know, but out in the world, no, I'm just big picture vision. I don't get details. No, it doesn't fit. Okay. So that kind of goes along with the idea of this, you know, whatever you can be whatever you wish. Probably not, because, God has gifted you in certain ways. And like Mark said, I mean, if we tell people, particularly younger people, as they're, you know, deciding and seeing what's out in front of them, I mean, if we tell them you can be whatever you want to be, then we're setting them up for failure, because that's just not true. We should be helping them understand who God has made them and help take advantage of that. And there's a lot of ways that this can go wrong in our society. I mean, there's just the general, you can be whatever you want to be. And you know, if you look at, if you ever watch any late night TV, which somehow record movies and see the college commercial. In fact, I used to work for a college that was kind of like this. I mean, they were just, you know, here's the careers out there, you know, nursing and computer skills, whatever. Come, you know, you're going nowhere, so come be one of these, and that's going to, you know, make it for you. And if they could sell you on that, which is basically you're not making enough money, you can make more money. You know, I definitely saw people that got recruited into that dream, because, hey, it was federal government loan anyway, right? All they had to do was sign the paperwork. And, you know, I'm like, these people are not cut out. I was teaching them computer skills, web skills. They're not cut out for that. That, you know, but they bought into it because they thought that was the ticket to getting where, you know, somewhere that they weren't. Not necessarily where they wanted to go, but, you know, they just knew they needed to pay the bills or, you know, they didn't want to, you know, be, you know, flipping hamburgers or whatever it is that they were doing, or watching late night TV, you know, in the middle of the night instead of sleeping and getting up on their job. Now, that's not to knock flipping hamburgers or, you know, what's that? I've told Mark, you know, he's got a lot of skills and he's got a lot of capability, do different things, whatever. We've tried to make sure that all our kids, we don't have a plan for you. You know, you need to go to Harvard, you know, or the Naval Academy, because that's where we went. You know, you need to be there. We don't have expectations like that. We do expect that our kids will use their God-given gifts to the best that they can. So, you know, if what I've specifically said, I had a conversation with Mark one time, you know, yeah, I'm not setting an expectation, but, you know, if you were going to work at Harris Teeter over the summer or something, earn some money, great. But if that was going to be your career aspiration, no, I am going to probably push hard on some expectations there. And say, you know, I expect more of that. Not that there's anything wrong with that at the right time for the right reasons, but when God has given you a gift to work with your hands and build and figure things out and stuff like that, that's probably not the best use of that. Nor is it the best income potential to have a you know, family and things like that. So in any of these things, we have to approach them with the right balance. We can't take, you know, anything that I've said or the book says as, you know, just this prescription, you know, for or against a particular job or station in life. But God has put us in these different roles. Just probably really to wrap up, thinking about that, you know, has God put people in different stations in life? You know, are there rich people because God has people being rich and he's got them rich to accomplish a purpose? Or is that because they just drove to the top and got rich and you could do that too? Or does he have people in these places? Okay, God ordains all things. Yeah. For his purposes. Yeah. Whether they know him or not. Yeah. Right. What's that? And that could bring him to God. That's right. That's right. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. And of course, yes, there's Proverbs that talk about this aspect, and Ecclesiastes, you know, Jesus said the poor are always going to be with you. But there's this assignment to, you know, what your gifts and talents are. And one thing that we do have to be careful of, though, is when we need to keep that in mind, because somebody's station, if you want to call it that way, in life does not determine, you know, where they are in the body of Christ in terms of some hierarchy. And there is a temptation, I think, temptation is the right word because it's often sinful to think about it that way. I don't know, you know, do we have any garbage men? I don't think we have any garbage men in the church that work for us, that work as garbage men and are part of the church. Now, you know, you might think, well, garbage men, you got that job because nobody, you know, well, if you're a garbage man because you serve people and you can make okay money at it and you've got the strength, God's given you the strength to do that, and you're going to do that to honor the Lord, and you know, we certainly need our garbage picked up. You know, we would want to welcome that person into the body of Christ, and not, you know, say, oh, you're a garbage man, oh, take a bath before you came to church, ha ha ha, you know, that kind of stuff. We want, you know, it doesn't matter what, again, station, kind of an old term that somebody is in, that where God has them. We want to welcome them, because even and especially in the body of Christ, God's given them a place as well, a place to serve and build up the body of Christ. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. If we really believe this, not only about what we're going to pursue in our lives, then we should be believing it about what other people, other Christians especially, how they pursue their life. And so then we don't knock them for it. Well, why aren't you going to college? Or, you know, why are you going to college? Or you could be doing this. You got this great singing voice. You should be going to Hollywood and not college. Or you should be going, you know, to the NBA and not college. It can cut both ways. I think, you know, in a lot of circumstances, I know just from our kids, you know, they usually get, where are you going to college? You know, and then they feel like, well, how do I answer that if I'm not going to college? You know, what do I do with that? And it's a good point. So we don't want to, you know, put an expectation on people. And another place, real quick, that this just kind of throw a little bomb out there is, I think, in our how we raise our young men and our young women, and what is their future role going to be? You know, my personal opinion is, the whole feminism, which can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, it doesn't mean the same thing to everybody, but I think it's created a lot of discontent in women. And whether you, you know, agree with it, you know, where there's a whole spectrum of beliefs, I think I can say pretty, almost to a level of fact, is that the idea of motherhood and raising children is more denigrated in our society. I mean, if you just said that, especially out in the popular culture, this is my goal, to be a mother and raise children and make sure they're educated properly. I think you know, a lot of times you would get the funny look. But what about your career? What about you? What are you doing for you? What are you going to accomplish? And I literally had somebody tell me that Cheryl had wasted her Naval Academy education and her career as an officer because she's at home raising children. And, you know, obviously that's just one, you know, anecdotal point. And I'm not like on a campaign crusade because of that. But I think we need to look at not only, you know, how we're raising our young men or young women, but how we're raising our kids in general, and what kind of expectations are we putting, and what are expectations do we have for ourselves? You know, what are we aspiring to? Is it to be content where God has us and do our very best there, or are we not satisfied with where God has us? And that's really what this chapter comes down to. Are we satisfied with where God has us? Because we can't change it. Okay, even though there's people out there in the world that literally are trying to change themselves, you know, to become, you know, a boy becoming a girl, a girl becoming a boy, because they're not content with where God's made them. Okay, so let's be content. All right, let's got to wrap up. So let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for how you have made us. If we had the decisions to make and choices to make, we would almost certainly mess them up, because we do not see the end from the beginning. And even if we want, quote, the best for ourselves, we don't always know what that is. And often we don't know what that is. But you do. And you promise us that you will work things out for the best for us and for your glory. And that is the absolute best thing in the world, that you would be glorified. And we thank you for making us part of your plan to accomplish your purposes on this earth. And we pray that you'll help us to be content with the part that you have us playing in it. In Jesus' name, amen.